This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Ashraf al-Anbiya'i wa al-Mursaleen wa ala alihi tayyibin tahirin wa sahabati al-Akramin wa tabi'in lahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها من نعمة. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of Islam, the blessing of being granted the great gift of faith to believe in our Creator who originated us, brought us into existence subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continues to sustain us. What a blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to be in gatherings in which that He is remembered. And this blessed time that we spend, which nothing does more for the heart than being in the majalis of dhikr, and the gatherings of remembrance, in which that the heart then comes to life and receives an increased light from the blessing of the one who is mentioned, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about what we've been doing in this gathering, we've been remembering our Lord. We have been supplicating Him. That we have been that seeking forgiveness for our sins. We have been sending blessings upon the best of His creation. We've been hearing beautiful words of advice coming from sincere hearts of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not only brought to this deen, but has inspired them to be in the service of people. And this is the most noble thing of all, is to follow in the footsteps of the prophets, to be able to be like the prophets, to resemble the prophets, to share in the concern and in the mission of the prophets, the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And unfortunately, we live in a time where people are so distant from this meaning of even understanding what prophecy, what prophethood is, who prophets actually are. But alhamdulillah, this is preserved for us. And we know with the blessing of these unbroken chains of transmission back to the blessed Prophet Muhammad himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is an understanding what we learn from the great inheritors in that tradition, with those understandings that trace back to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you and I can have a correct conception of history in its entirety. The correct conception of history in its entirety. And one of the beautiful subtleties, when we talk about the science of Tawheed, Usul al-Din, Aqeedah, whatever it is that you call it, belief. When we talk about the science of belief, and you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of what we believe about Him in relation to His essence, in relation to His attributes, in relation to His acts subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two greatest acts of His creation is His creating prophets and creating the hereafter and everything that transpires in it. And this is why that at a certain juncture in history, you find that the scholars spoke of three different categories or divisions of the science of Tawheed, the science of belief. The first and foremost is the most important, and that is what we believe about Allah. And Imam Ghazali, in his blessed book, Jawahir al-Quran, the jewels of the Quran, when he speaks of the themes, the core meanings of the Quran, and this is something bi-idhnillahi ta'ala that we will be speaking about in more detail in the summer retreat, which is just around the corner. He says the first and most important of all of the categories is ta'rif al-mad'u, the theme of that relates to Allah. Literally, is that us coming to know the one that we're being called to. We're being called to Allah in His book. Allah Ta'ala is calling us Himself to Himself in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ta'rif and mad'u, the Quran that provides us with knowledge of the one that we're being called to. And in fact, if people tune their hearts in, they will find that everything that happens around them in reality is calling them to Allah. Every tribulation that you go through, all blessings that come your way,
all possible states of the human being in reality are calling us to Allah if we open up our hearts to perceive. But this is why we need prophetic knowledge. You are not going to be able to do this in and of yourself. With the unaided intellect, it cannot figure everything out. Yes, by virtue of the fitrah, there is much that we can come to know, and we have a general knowledge of what is right and wrong. But ultimately, that it has to be supported by knowledge that comes from beyond the intellect's ability to receive it. That is revelation that comes through the prophets. So the khulasa and the most important aspect of everything that Allah Ta'ala has created and will recreate relates to Allah creating prophets who were sent for our guidance and our success in this world and in the hereafter. And then everything that transpires. This is the essence of creation. Of the 14 plus billion years, if it really has been that long, that this world has been around, this is what it's all about. This is everything that happened before is so that the crown of creation, which is the human beings, can come. And then the crown of crowns, which is the best of creation, who was soon to come at the later time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the khatam al-anbiya wa mursaleen. He is the seal of the prophets and messengers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when you come to understand that, then we're blessed to be a part of an ummah. That the scholars of this ummah are like prophets from previous ummas. They're like prophets. Innal ulama warathat al-anbiya. The scholars are the inheritors of prophets. They are their heirs. They inherited not only the knowledge that you need, but all of the traits inwardly and outwardly, everything that it is that you need to know and then be and live in order to continue, be means for the continuance of that guidance until the end of time. And the time which we live right now is not bereft of these great inheritors. This gathering that we're in would not be here. It wouldn't be established. It wouldn't be happening were it not to be for these inheritors still on the face of this earth. And then if you start to think about the greatness of that blessing, to connect to the heirs of the prophets. People that have not only learned the prophetic message from books, but they have learned that blessed message from living inheritors of this tradition. And what a difference between someone who takes their knowledge from books, even if they be religious books, let alone books of knowledge that relates to this world, and between someone who takes their knowledge from the chests of great men, who are living representatives of this tradition, in addition to their outward chains of transmission back to the Prophet ﷺ, they also have an inward connection, a very real inward connection that leads not only to their correct understanding of this deen, but even to the details of all of the decisions that they make, everything that it is that they do, the advice that they give, and even the words that they say. And then the intelligent one is the one who sees things as such and then opens up the doors for their own self to benefit. And then when you start to connect to these blessed souls of these blessed inheritors, you start to realize that there is something that they want from you. And when we put it like this, that there's something that they want from you, when we first hear that, it might be like, well, what does that mean? They don't want anything from us in the way that people of this world think. They are totally disconnected from that. They don't want us to praise them. They don't want us to give them money. They don't want us to do anything that would bring about some type of worldly benefit or even desire. This is not how these people are. They want something for us that is priceless. One of the blessed imams of this deen, that he says in poetry form, وَتْرُكْ مُنَاكَ إِنْ أَرَدْتَ مُنَانَا. Leave what you want for what we want. In other words, if you really want to attain what we want for you, you have to leave what you think that you need, or you think is, even if you think that it is something great. And that tuning your heart into that reality, understanding that there is something that the great inheritors of the prophets want for us in any time, but to this very day and age, there's something that they want from us. And there are multiple dimensions to this, but there is a blessed statement from one of our teachers. And he was addressing the students that were studying before him. And he said to them, "Do not think that you are here studying sacred knowledge only." He said, you could study sacred knowledge in many different places. But he then went on to say, is that you are here so that you can study and then you can become great representatives of this religion in the places that you come from. The Arabic there is, لِتَكُونُ رِجَالٍ فِي أَقَالِمِكُمْ. So that you can become great representatives of this religion in the lands that you come from. This is what they want. And they use the word rijal, which translates literally as men. But essentially, the reality of this manhood or manliness is traits that both women and men have equal access to. And these traits, according to the great Imam Shafi, and this is narrated by Imam An-Nawawi in his introduction to the book Al-Majmur, his commentary on the great book of Abu Ishaq al-Shirazi, Al-Muhadhab. And he says, is that Rujula, if you want to be a great representative of this deen, is that you can't attain that unless you have four traits. And then he listed them. Diyana, wa amana, wa siyana, wa razana. And we're going to translate these in a certain way, maybe slightly different than you would normally translate them. Diyana here translates as uprightness, number one. Amana here translates as trustworthiness. Siyana here translates as virtuousness. And razana here translates as steadfastness. These four great traits, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these great rijal in his book, rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun and dhikri wala bay'un and dhikri la, about these great men, these great representatives of this deen, who are not preoccupied from the remembrance of Allah by any buying or selling, nor does it preoccupy them from establishing their prayers or giving out from their wealth. من المؤمنين رجال, from among the believers are رجال, صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه, that they've been true to the covenant that they've taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our teachers used to repeat this over and over. We don't want to just come to these gatherings and then leave in the same state that we were in before we came. Rather, we want to make an intention to become transformed. Is that to hear meanings that then strike the heart or absorb therein, and then we go out after that to do what it is that we can do. We live in a time where we cannot just leave this affair to one or two people. We need everybody in this room, times 10, times 100, times 1,000, to internalize the reality of these meanings and then to spend their lives living them. This is what our Prophet ﷺ did with the very best generation of all. Nobody taught and instructed and then reared other human individuals, both men and women, young and old alike, like the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then no generation transformed human history like the companions did. And their state was such a high quality, is that sometimes even the means outwardly doesn't seem to match up with what they were able to do. That they had a state that transcended even language. It transcended material resources and a long list of other things. And yes, that we're supposed to take the means, but our reliance is upon Allah. And the more that we are in touch with these realities, the more that you and I will be keys that open up the doors of good and then locks that shut the doors of evil. So if we briefly look at these traits, These are the traits that you and I need to be if we are going to that be the way our teachers want us to be. And what they are giving us by saying that they want us to be great representatives of this religion in the places that we come from, i.e., just be the way you're supposed to be outwardly. Do what it is that you're supposed to do. And then the spirit will be blown into it. The spirit of sincerity, and then the spirit of the adwaq and the great states of experiential faith that come in this world, let alone everything that someone experiences as they die, after they die, in the barzakh, yawm al-qiyam, and then eternally in paradise. Let alone. There's not much that you can say about that, but they just want you to outwardly do what it is that you can do. And the first trait is diyana. And what this means is that we be mustaqim. We be upright upon the straight path of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah says, وَأَلَّا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. Is that were they only to be upright upon the right way, is that we would have given them abundant rain to drink. It has an outward meaning of physical rain coming down, and as that our teachers point out, is that it also has a spiritual meaning, is that their hearts will be irrigated with the greatest of blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uprightness, learning to commit to this deen over an extended period of time as we go through all of our different stages. The second is amana, trustworthiness, is that you and I understand the responsibility that has been placed upon our shoulders, and we become reliable carriers and transmitters of this deen, that becoming links in that chain. This chain extends back to our Prophet ﷺ, but we all need to be a certain way to be a link. Not anyone can be a link. You can get a PhD and be a total fasiq, but if you want to be a link in the chain that goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, that can't happen. You have to understand the responsibility that is upon your shoulders, and you have to be a certain way. There's a particular way that you have to act. There's certain things that you can't do. So we have that uprightness, and we have trustworthiness. And then there's other dimensions of this trustworthiness when certain things start to appear to you, when certain understandings that you have, not everything do you experience, do you say. The third trait is razana. The third trait first is siyana, where we become steadfastness, where we protect our deen from anything that would harm us in any way or lead us to have a bad reputation. The meanings of razana here are the meanings of murua and futuwa. Murua is a type of legal respectability. Futuwa is chivalry. There's certain things that are disgraceful for someone representing of the deen to do, even if they be permissible, even if they not be unlawful. There's a way that we have to be. There is a way that we have to carry ourselves. There is that certain things that even though they might be permissible in the deen that we simply can't do. And there's many examples that could be mentioned there. But this is that how these people are. If you're going to truly represent this deen in the places that we all live, for us in the United States of America, is that we have to be people that have high degrees of legal respectability, people that are chivalrous, people that are virtuous in everything that it is that they do. And so this great trait of siyana, virtuousness. And then finally, razana is the great trait of steadfastness. When we recognize as human beings, we're going to have our ups and downs. There's times where we're going to be tired, and there's times that we're going to have more energy. There's times where our hearts are going to be expanded, and there's times that they are constricted. There's times where things are going that sour in our life, our health, or in our home life, or whatever it might be. And then there's times where that things are going very well. Throughout all these different states, razana is thabat. Steadfastness, steadfastness and firmness upon the truth of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, is that no matter what happens to us, is that you and I are firmly grounded in this deen, is that we are firm upon that fulfilling our mission that has been placed upon our soul shoulders. is that we have the ability to be able to bear hardship and to suck it up and to keep going and to work hard day in and day out. This affair is not going to take root in these lands. And what we mean by that is ultimately in the heart of individuals without not just hard work, extremely hard work, working till you can't even work anymore. And you take whatever break that it is that you need so that you can then get right back to work. And do this consistently over an extended period of time. When we have this great trade of Rizana, huge doors will then open up for us, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So these four traits of Rujula, that you can't be a great representative, what are they? Is that uprightness, trustworthiness, steadfastness, virtuousness, and steadfastness. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses us with these great traits, He'll open up the door for us to not only benefit in of ourselves, but to be blessed links of these blessed chains of transmission that are like conduits of light and that are means then for other people to taste the sweetness of what those first blessed people tasted when they were in the presence of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they used to say, is that no one would come into the presence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they wouldn't leave without illa ala dhawaq. They would taste something, and outwardly is that our Prophet would take care of his guests and that he would provide from them that and to give them things to drink and to eat. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kan yuqumu illa ala dhawaq. But the meaning spiritually is that anyone came into his blessed presence, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would taste the sweetness of the deen. They would taste the sweetness of knowledge that he receives directly from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Taste the sweetness of what it means to be a slave of Allah. What it means to submit to Allah Ta'ala and to come to know him. May Allah Ta'ala bless us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, this blessed night of Jum'ah, to taste these meanings and to be from these blessed people. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala inspire the upcoming generation and even those that are older to strive to have actualized within them these great traits so that inshallah ta'ala, just as these great representatives spread this deen wherever it is that they went, is that the realities of this deen will spread here in these lands. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.